Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The Policing Authority is this morning releasing its Assessment of Policing Performance for 2020 report, and I'm joined on the line by Bob Collins, Chairperson of the Policing Authority. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
You're very welcome. Now, the Garda Force has been under, as everyone will know, severe pressure over the course of the past year, policing restrictions and with everything that COVID has entailed. How has it responded to that pressure?
It has responded magnificently across the year in virtually every respect, I think. The importance of the policing plan is pretty central in the life of the Garda Síochána in that it's a statement of commitment by the Commissioner to the public as to the priorities that will be followed in the provision of the of a policing service to the people. And when the plan was developed for 2020, nobody expected that COVID was around the corner, and the plan was rapidly revised with the policing authority to take account of that. And the immediate response of the Garda Síochána was extraordinarily impressive. They were in some respects ahead of the posse in the character of their response, and the engagement with communities has had a lasting impact. And I think that perhaps one of the most striking things to emerge from policing performance in the course of 2020 has been that re-emphasis on the essential link between policing and community, the importance of community-facing policing, and the importance of the quality of engagement. And one of the very noticeable things that has come back to the policing authority from the engagement and consultation that it has had over the years with the statutory and non-statutory voluntary organizations across the country, people working with those who may be vulnerable or in difficulty for whatever reason, is the shift in the tone and character of and the personality, I think, of the engagement between Garda and individual, and I think that is one of the profoundly valuable things that must not be lost in any emergence from the health emergency that we are in at the moment.
There is, though, in some situations and cases that we've heard about on this programme, a disconnect between the force and the government on the issue of policing. For example, those who are supposed to be quarantining at home, there was some confusion amongst some of the Garda representatives who we spoke to about their role in all of that.
Well, there has been a highly complex set of statutory provisions over the course of the last 12 months in relation to the restrictions on individuals. And they have been, I have no doubt, difficult to create, but also difficult to comprehend sometimes. And the Garda Síochána has no less or no more than others had to adapt at speed to the implementation of the changing requirements of the statutory provisions.
Mm-hmm.
I think one has to be careful in distinguishing between the formal quarantining provisions that are going to come in the very near future.
The mandatory quarantining hotels.
Yes, and not going to involve the Guard.
Yeah, but and you felt at the authority that the Guard should not be involved. You didn't feel it was an appropriate use of Garda resources.
We didn't and we don't, and I think neither does the Commissioner, and it's not going to be the case. And I think that is an important development. It's a reassuring development that will not be the case. I think that the reading the regular COVID newsletters that the Garda Síochána sends out to all of its workforce suggests that there is a really steady process of conveying information as effectively and as rapidly as possible mm-hmm. to everybody who is involved. One of the challenges, I think, at the moment is that with the increased number of offences in respect of which a fixed penalty can be administered, that does impose a burden on individual Garda members, because the exercise of the discretion that has to be available to a guard is challenging in circumstances where increasingly large penalties are involved.
Mm-hmm. And we know that some are getting abuse from some people, because I'm sure that people know that the Garda has discretion when it comes to administering those penalties.
Well, I think that the main thing that some people realise or strikes people is that the presence of a guard is possibly the nearest thing that they will encounter to a manifestation of the power of the state. And whatever impatience they may feel at the moment, and there are some who are beginning to feel perhaps a little more impatient than others, there is a tendency and a risk that they will direct that at members of the Garda Síochána. The kind of discretion that a Garda has is not an option. It's not the ability to exercise a preference. It's the ability to judge a situation and determine whether this is a penalty that should be administered now or one that should be referred so that a court can take a decision. Because that was the reason why the authority had serious reservations about the introduction of fixed penalty notices, because of the fact that the scale of the penalties would be more normally associated with the kind of judgment that a court might issue.
What about these protests? And we know the one that happened in Dublin a number of weeks ago. Gardaí were injured. They were put in a very, very difficult position. There will be another protest planned for St. Patrick's Day. It doesn't have permission. Is it the Garda's job, the Gardaí's job, to attempt to prevent that protest happening?
Well, no doubt. They will do everything in their legal power so to do. The experience of Cork, well, first of all, let's talk about briefly the experience of Dublin. That was an outrageous process of abuse of everybody, of the citizens of the city who were restricted from going about their normal business, having access to public places like St. Stephen's Green or Grafton Street. But it was also an outrageous assault and abuse on members of the Garda Síochána who were simply doing their job. And nobody could, I think, reasonably have expected that the character of the assault that was made upon Gardaí would have formed part of a protest against the lockdown. The protest in itself was unlawful in any event. But the event that took place in Cork was of a totally different character, in large measure because of the interventions that the Garda Síochána made in advance of it, and also because, to be fair to them, whatever organisation structure that's involved in organising these events, they appear to have made some attempts to avoid the awfulness of Dublin. And of course the Garda Síochána will properly be looking towards St. Patrick's Day and attempting to prevent if it happens, to deal with such events as take place. The very way in which the Gardaí presented themselves at the event in Dublin was an indication that they believed that they were going to be policing a peaceful event. And it is not unreasonable to expect that such an event would be peaceful. It is unreasonable to have to expect that somebody is going to, that there may be attacks launched against people, and one has to be careful what one says because of the fact that prosecution may be pending.
Yes, but I suppose when it comes to policing those events, the Garda Síochána must be questioning whether they have the balance right on the use of force.
Well, I don't know that there is the remotest suggestion that there was an inappropriate use, and certainly not what we might describe as an anticipatory use of force by Gardaí at that Saturday event in Dublin.
No, I don't think so. But unarmed Gardaí wearing the soft hats, as was said to us here by former Assistant Commissioner Pat Leahy, they're put in a very difficult position when they're faced with people who are essentially armed, you know?
Well, of course they are. And Gardaí, every day of the week, every night of the week, when the rest of us are in our beds, they are putting themselves at risk. And in the vast majority of cases, they are unarmed. They are simply wearing their normal uniforms as they do. And that is one of the implicit risks that are involved in being a member of a police service in a democratic state. And that is one of the reasons why we, as a people, as a community, confer such powers on police, precisely so that they can respond in those circumstances and keep the rest of us safe when they are in the barn of whale. I think that the difficulty of engaging in such an event with very significant displays of power is that it can be perceived by some to be provocation. But there is capacity available to the Garda Síochána, which I have no doubt they will have available to them in circumstances where it may be warranted.
You've expressed also in the report some reservations and concerns about the levels of detection regarding sexual offences. Can you explain to us what you have found there?
I think that there is a serious issue in relation to, and the Garda Síochána recognise this, in relation to the effective detection rates in respect of a range of offences, but very particularly in relation to sexual offences. Part of the challenge lies in the measure of the definition of a detection rate being a crime detected within 12 months of its being committed. And that is a seriously challenging one in respect of sexual offences, and your extraordinary interview with Sarah Grace yesterday illustrated to your listeners the complexity and the awfulness and the duration that these events can take place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beyond the Garda investigation. She was very complimentary, wasn't she, about the Garda?
She was, and it is, but this is the dilemma, that the only meaningful outcome to a rape is a conviction. Anything less is unsatisfactory for everybody, for the victim, for society. But there is a significant attrition rate where the woman who is involved just can't proceed with the case, doesn't wish to. There are reasons why that can be the case. And one of the really promising things that emerged last year was the decision by the Garda Síochána to interrogate in detail the reasons why there can be a drop-off in the victims being prepared to stick with the case. It is a very challenging thing to have to do. Your interviewee yesterday was very powerful in her articulation of the issues that arise. And in the course of 2020, one of the things that struck the authority very forcibly, we'd always had an engagement with Garda Síochána on the issue of detections and then the issue of sexual crime in particular, but that there was a combination of events last year through the NUIG report on the experiences of women students in that university, a number of dramatic court cases which illustrated the extent of the problem of sexual crime, the O'Malley report on the issue of witnesses, victims in court cases, and it has been a very positive element in the Garda Síochána over a number of years of the way in which the issue of domestic violence, for example, is being properly reframed as the crime that it is rather than simply as a domestic event, which is the overhang of an old traditional view has not entirely gone away in this community.
So, on this final point,
Claire, simply this interrogation of the, which is a rapid event, is not a long term thing. It's underway, and the outcome of that will be potentially very powerful in relation to the improving the rate of detection, but also improving the speed with which the greater understanding of how these crimes can be more effectively prosecuted, and how the sustaining the engagement of the victim through what is a difficult process.
So do I glean from what you're saying is that if the Gardaí do their job and they are looking after the victim in the way that they should, it then becomes very difficult once it moves on from the jurisdiction of the Gardaí into the court system, and it becomes difficult to get a conviction for that reason?
Well, that is part of the process. That is also a possible part of the deterrence. The Minister for Justice, before Christmas, or the end of last year, engaged very, very specifically with this issue, and she has a clear sense of what her policy priorities are across the entire criminal justice system in relation to improving this. There are certainly challenges for the Garda Síochána. They are now addressing those. The development of protective services units in every division in the country was a really important development in 2020. The efficacy of those groups has been appreciated and acknowledged by everybody who was involved, victims, organizations who work with them at every stage. There are skilled, committed, experienced, trained people engaging in a way that was not the case previously.
Yes.
That assists victims, It is the initial contact between the victim and the guard, the initial process of the investigation, the initial the recognition of whether there is a relationship between the alleged perpetrator and the victim. All of those interlocking elements are critical, and the Gardaí are fully seized of that and are actively involved in it. And everybody hopes, and we will be engaging very productively with them, to try to ensure that that will see regular, consistent and rapid improvement.
Bob Collins, Chairperson of the Policing Authority, thank you for joining us on the programme today.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.